The most beloved musical of all time continues.
Hello.
Tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're only a day away.
Starring Joan Collins, George Hearn, and from the smash hit movie 9 Months, lovable Ashley Johnson as Annie.
Wait, the lizards!
Annie, a royal adventure.
You know what I really like, Daddy's album? Happy Ending.
I love ya.
So do I.
Hello and welcome to Fun Size Sequels, an offshoot of the Unloved Sequels podcast, where we look at the straight-to-video sequels that even the studios didn't make that big a deal of. We're your hosts, Michael, say hello.
Hello.
And me, Claire, and this episode we're finding out whether the sun really did come out tomorrow in Annie 2, A Royal Adventure. Michael, I honestly don't know where to start with this movie, so tell us about Annie 2, A Royal Adventure.
Leaping lizards. Annie is off to London with her two best friends and Daddy Warbucks to fight the evil Joan Collins. I even don't remember her name in this movie. Hang on, it was something bottom.
Hog's bottom?
Hog's bottom? Something
Lady
bottom.
Hog's bottom or something equally. Lady Edwina Hogbottom.
Oh, geez. There we go. There must have been some kind of paycheck when this movie was made for her.
There must have been.
Oh my God, it was an experience. You know, it premiered on ABC. It was a TV movie. They must have been desperate for material. It was released on VHS on November the 14th, 1995 in America and the UK. It had a DVD release in 2004. The DVD had no special features and only had subtitle selection. So no one put any effort into any of this.
There wasn't even a scene selection because I've got the DVD edition. Yeah, we had to pay for this movie. You can't get it on streaming.
You can in America. It's on Amazon Prime here.
Okay. Oh, so you didn't have to pay to watch it except that you paid for my copy because I ain't paying for that.
Yeah, it was £1.98.
Yeah, no, there isn't even scene selection. There's no scene selection. There's no features. There's no director's commentary. I wonder why not.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so this movie, this is another one where one studio had the rights to make the movie. So Columbia had bought the rights to make a movie of the original stage show of Annie.
Yeah.
Which they all did in 1982, and we love that version of Annie.
But it didn't perform well. It did not perform well at the box office.
No, didn't actually. Well, no, it did, but it had a ridiculous budget. Do you have the figures?
But yeah, it was. It had a budget. It made 57 million against a budget of 35 million.
Mm.
So that's not massive.
In 1982, for a movie that doesn't really have special effects.
Yes.
That's a huge amount of money that they spent on that. I don't really know where the money went.
Probably just on
in that
set.
Movie.
But it's fascinated to me. And I was like, why is this movie, why have they made a sequel to a movie that performed badly at the box office?
Well,
that doesn't
I can tell you why. Because although it didn't perform very well at the box office, it performed very well on home video.
Right.
So, and we've talked about this before in these mini episodes, because that period of the late 90s when people were starting to have VHS players in their house, there was this huge boom in home entertainment. So rather than going out and watching films in the theatres, in the cinemas, people were either buying or renting the VHS to watch at home. And Annie did really well on home release. I mean, we didn't have a lot of videos in our house when I was a kid that I recall, and Annie was one of them. It was like Annie, Beauty and the Beast, Jungle Book, I think. They're the ones that really stick in my mind as ones that we own. We didn't own that many. Annie was definitely one of them. And so it's one that I watched quite a lot and I enjoy. So Columbia had got the rights. Those rights included any sequels that were to be made. And obviously having not performed well in the cinema, the original movie compared to its budget, they didn't really want to make a sequel, certainly not for theatrical release. But the producer, Ray Stark, was very keen to make the sequel, despite the poor performance, of the original movie. So eventually, TriStar, which is Columbia's sort of sister studio, agreed to make the movie for a straight to video release, or for a, it was a TV movie, but then it basically had a simultaneous VHS release, because they thought they could tap into that popularity of the home entertainment.
But wasn't there an Annie 2 that attempted Broadway as well? Like,
there was prior to this movie.
A very different storyline and everything. And an actual musical. This movie is not a musical, everyone.
This movie is not a musical. That is my major beef with this. I mean, I have plenty of issues with this movie. My major beef with this movie is it's not a musical. Why isn't it a musical?
But there are so many parts of the movie where they pause. I'm like, they're going to sing. No, they're not going to sing.
And there's so much underscoring. There is so much music in this movie. I spent so much. And actually, before I watched it, I had realized that it wasn't going to be a musical, because I had looked it up and seen that the only song that's in it is there's a reprise of Tomorrow right at the very end.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom
in case anyone doesn't know the song.
Tomorrow. Just by May.
There we go. So we don't need the clip for that. We can just keep Michael's version in.
Beautiful.
Lovely. But so I knew that there wasn't going to be any numbers in this movie. So I was kind of going into it disappointed. I suppose I should have just not looked it up beforehand. And then, I'd have been even more disappointed, because I would have been expecting, wouldn't Annie 2 be a musical?
But if you Google it, it says it calls it a comedy musical. Like, of all the places you look, even Wikipedia, it calls it a comedy musical. So I'm a bit kind of like, because there's one song at the end of it, but you can't call something a musical when there's just one song. The funny thing is, the director of this, Ian Toyton, he's a TV director. He makes lots of TV. And he's most famously known for directing Keith Sutherland's 24? Or Donald? Yeah, Keith
Sutherland. Keith Sutherland, 24. Yeah.
The series 24, he directed loads of them. And he also did kind of like Designated Survivor. He designed the pilot of that. So you're thinking, why is this different? This is very different. Do you think that's why there's a bomb rocket at the end?
Maybe.
When that bomb rocket turned up.
Spoiler alert.
Just in case you want to watch it.
In case you're going to watch it.
That Joan Collins has a rocket bomb at the end that I don't quite understand why you need liquid to pour into the rocket to make it fly. And it was so painful.
I don't know.
It was just kind of like, you know, I don't quite understand what they were thinking of this. You know, and there's so many other versions of Annie out there. And if I literally nearly broke the TV a few times every time she bloody well said leaping lizards. I think she said it like every 20 minutes. Leaping lizards!
Everything because she wasn't in the red outfit anymore. And you might have forgotten you were watching an Annie movie because there were no songs.
But did she say leaping lizards in the original movie a lot?
Yeah, like twice.
Twice. This movie said about 9 times. Leaping lizards.
Yeah, and he does say it in the first movie. It's just that there's other stuff going on, like songs. So you don't notice it. This is a bit of an issue with me, the lack of music in this movie.
And sinister characters. They're sinister characters upon this boat. I think you mean just like people. I don't understand why they're called sinister characters when you're like, it was so confusing. And I was like,
well, because it was tying in with the fortune tellers. It was trying to use the exact words, I guess, that the fortune teller had given at the beginning to try and make it seem like there was some sort of through vision for the plot, which I'm not convinced there was, really.
That fortune teller was the only one that got things correct in this movie, because I don't think the screenwriter got anything correct. I don't think the director got anything correct.
Well, the continuity, certainly, like, the thing... Lack of music aside, the thing that I found most confusing about this movie is, when is it supposed to be happening? Because in terms of progression for the characters, it seems like it's a year or two after the events of Annie.
It's 1943.
But Annie was in 1932.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. This is not, neither of us has made this mistake, by the way. We are both correct.
Oh, okay.
Sod it, no one will notice. Well, no, they will notice, because it was pre-war in the first movie.
And this is the middle of war.
And Winston Churchill is prime minister in the second movie, which means it can't be before 1940.
No, but it's 1943. And that's, the war hasn't even ended by that point, Second World War. But there's not mention of the war. And they're in central London.
Well, this is the thing. I was like, is it meant to be post-war? Is it meant to be... surely you can't
set
a film in London during the war and not reference the war. But is it supposed to be post-war? In which case, how does that work? Is it being 1 year later than the previous movie that was pre-war? I think they just went, nah, doesn't matter.
In this universe of Annie 2, the war didn't happen.
We like the aesthetic of the 40s for this movie, so we're just going to ignore the fact that the dates, having mentioned who the president is in the first movie and having mentioned who the prime minister is in the second movie, and those two things don't marry up, but it's fine. No one's going to notice. I mean, to be fair, probably until internet nerds like us existed, people probably didn't notice.
No. But it's just the whole concept of this film is so, and I know this is ridiculous me saying it, 'cause it's an Annie movie, but it's so far-fetched. It's kind of like, it's just taken a basic concept from the original movie that's kind of like the orphan, and she's got an orphan friend in this. She also has another friend called Hannah that has parents that you never see, who I just think is a massive leech. She's just like, oh, I'll come to England. I'll live off my rich friend.
Yeah, but then she talks about having known Miss Hannigan.
Yeah.
So that doesn't add up either. So it's like, is she supposed to have been an orphan in the first movie that we just never saw?
I think she has
been adopted, or is she?
I think she's a return character played by somebody different. I think it's her best friend in the original movie.
But there was no Hannah in the original movie, was there? I thought Molly was her best friend in the first movie. Who is in the second movie? I think they just made it all up as they went along and didn't think people would.
They didn't have a hardcore Annie fan like you that watched it bump into you as a child to point out these.
Who is this girl? I don't see her credentials.
Thank
I need
God
a full character history for this child.
Thank God you didn't discover this film actually on release, because you would have.
I mean, I didn't even know it existed until
letter.
You suggested to me a couple
Stop
of weeks
saying
ago.
I suggest these
it.
Bad movies.
I am not taking the blame for this one. This has got nothing to do with me. Absolutely.
No, that was George of
me.
The Jungle 2. Oh.
I stand by that. I stand by George of the Jungle 2. I do not. Stand by Annie 2, A Royal Adventure. Yeah, it's just, it's weird. Joan Collins is...
fantastic.
Joan Collins is Joan Collins. Joan Collins is fantastic. But the problem that we have with Joan Collins, I mean, presumably she was cast in this movie, in this role, to kind of recreate the Dynasty bad guy-ish kind of persona that she had. But then there's no foil for that.
No, but like 1995, I feel like she was kind of like, she's probably just come off of Dynasty, like late 80s, early 90s. So she was quite a household name. I think this was a way of, and don't forget this, apart from the US where this was carried a TV screening, having her on a DVD, a VHS would make a parent probably pick up.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
The movie to the oh, it's Annie, even though in 1995 Annie wasn't a popular option for films.
Yeah. But the problem, where it falls down, though, having her in that character, is that there's no one for her to be against. It worked for her in Dynasty because she had the nemesis. But in this, her nemesis is Annie, for goodness sake. And it's a fluffy movie, and you're not going to see her throwing someone down the stairs or shoving them into the pool or throwing champagne in their face, because that's not what this movie is. So trying to kind of implant that character into this kind of movie, it just turns her into a very thin kind of panto villain.
Like, I think the kind of like introducing her son and stuff to make her kind of like a semi-abusive mother, I think that's where they were trying to hint at it. I enjoyed her in the role, just to watch her do something that she kind of like, you know, a kid-friendly thing. But we have to cover in a future episode is she plays Wilma Flintstone's mum in Viva Rock Vegas, in the prequel, or the sequel/prequel to the Flintstones movie, where Elizabeth Taylor played that role. So it's quite fun. It's quite fun to watch Joan Collins trying to take over a role that Elizabeth Taylor made kind of famous.
So watch this space for that. We will definitely cover that at some point.
And guys, if you want to watch a Annie movie, there is the original Annie, What Is Better. There's a TV Annie movie with Kathy Bates that came out for Disney Channel a couple of years later after this. And the contemporary Annie in 2014 with...
the Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz.
Yes, Jamie. That is so good. I love that film. That is such a good movie. I really enjoyed. Cameron Diaz as Miss Hannigan was just genius. She's so much fun in the role. I love it. It's so contemporary.
I don't love it as much as I love the original, but I think the original is such a strong childhood memory for me. And the supporting cast, I think, in the original, Annie, like Tim Curry, we've discussed before, can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. Bernadette Peters, she's up there as like, it's such a strong cast.
Who's the person who played Miss Hannigan, who was really famous in America, but not in England?
Carol Burnett.
Oh, yes, she's huge over in America, but over in England, she's not really a known face, but she's so iconic in that role.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, she's recast, everyone is recast in this movie. There's no, I'm just quickly scanning through. No, there's no continuity. There's a few characters that carry through, but there are no actors that carry through, partly because of the huge age gap. Obviously, none of the child actors would be able to be in it again because they will have all aged out.
Daddy Warbucks' assistant, the Indian guy.
Yes.
Did he have magic powers in the first film?
Yes.
I thought she was going, why is there floating coins? I don't remember him having magic powers in the original movie.
Yes, he did. I can't name any of them specifically off the top of my head, but he did have magic powers. Didn't he? He did something to Annie magical in the movie.
I think I need to go back and watch the original movie.
He certainly had mystical powers in the first movie as well, yes. But yes, he's been recast. Lovely Grace from the first movie, Daddy Warbucks' assistant, secretary. She's disappeared off the face of the earth. And I feel thought really they got
together.
I thought
the impression that was Daddy Warbucks, and I thought she became Annie's mum, and they started a year later, family together.
Never existed. I felt really bad for her that she's just completely gone. And there's no reason for her to be gone. There's no, like, there's nothing in the storyline that requires Annie to be in need of a mum. There's nothing in the storyline other than, I suppose, Hogbottom wanting to flirt with Daddy Warbucks to get him on side. And I suppose that would be harder if he had a partner. But there's no real need for Grace to be gone. So I feel bad that she is gone in this movie.
That is very true. And did you notice that they kind of ripped off the Jaw theme tune every time something sinister happened? There was
The music by the end of the movie, I was like, the first few times it came, I was like, oh, maybe it is going to have some singing. I know I saw that it wasn't a musical, but maybe there's going to be a number because there's so much underscoring and it keeps feeling like it's about to break into something. And then you're an hour in and they're still playing the same one piece of underscoring all the way through. And it's just like, either sing or turn off the music. Do you know what I mean? It's this like, you don't need this much incidental music in a non-musical movie. I didn't even dare inflict this on my children. I watched it on my laptop and just let them watch whatever they were watching on Netflix at the same time. I thought, there's no way my kids are going to sit through this movie.
Well, at least there's something you can give to the charity shop next time you're doing a bundle of stuff.
Yeah, they'll be delighted.
Pass the love on. Pay it forward.
Claire. Yeah, they'll be like, pay that forward. Haven't even heard of it. Yeah, there's a reason
for that. Did the DVD come sealed or can we return it?
What, to get your £1.50 back on Music Magpie?
£1.98. Yeah, exactly. So, Claire, how many little redhead orphans would you give this?
Oh, send them all back to the orphanage. No, I'm not going to be quite that cruel. I will give it one just for turning up. For the fact that they bothered to make the movie. And for Joan Collins, you know, give her a bit of credit. She is exactly what you want from her in this movie. Mm. I think that the individual performances, actually, the young cast in this movie, over the whole apples and pearsness of the boys when they're first introduced in Hyde Park, and it all suddenly goes a bit.
Here's my five brothers. Oh, we could do with Mary Poppins.
Even though they are English, they end up doing that kind of weird, fake sounding English accent, even though they are really English. But yeah, the young cast in it, I think, the performances are okay. They're good, but I don't think there's very much in the plot to be worth the bother for them, to be honest. And it's all very contrived, and the whole thing at the beginning about the tutor sending off with the homework, you must learn about castles and dungeons, and why do I have to learn about this? End up
in a dungeon in a castle.
Who has a dungeon in a castle? Oh, the antagonist of this movie. Who'd have thought it? And now, because she did her homework, they can escape from the dungeon. What? And then at the end, I like that Molly gets her family at the end. Spoiler alert, yeah. Molly gets a family. But the way that it was like, oh, why don't you call me Mum and Dad? And hey, we're going to move to America because Daddy Warbucks is going to give us a job so that we can learn to be better, or some nonsense. Yes. It was all just a bit like too contrived and too... Oh, it was so white.
So white.
It was so white.
So white. It was so uncomfortable.
Apart from the servants.
White.
The servants were still
That's what makes it uncomfortably white.
I know. There's what, two brown people in this movie?
It was like having a weekend away in Martha's Vineyard. It was kind of like, it was just so white privileged. And where the dog disappeared to? Did they leave the dog in the dungeon of the castle? The dog disappeared to the last...
No, they bust the dog out with them, didn't they?
They did. But then you didn't see the dog again.
The dog was in the number at the end. I'm sure we saw the dog during the number at the end.
I completely glossed over that. I was just like, credits.
It's such a random number as well. It was like they got to the end of the movie and they were like, oh, we forgot to put the song in. Just get her to sing it now.
Yeah, and the king's in the background going, la 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 la. Like,
why is this? And the whole so reason weird. For the song, it makes sense in the first movie. The sun will come out tomorrow because she's got this hope for a better life and a better world for her to live in. And then they get to the end of this movie and she's already got the better life. And yes, okay, temporarily it was worse because Joan Collins locked her in a dungeon. But her life is no better at the end of the movie than it was at the beginning.
Can we
There's
just
no
go back to
hope.
The dungeon? The dungeon. The dungeon had a pit of snakes in it. Now, as people that are brought up in England, I was like, what dungeon?
Where did
has
she
a
get
pit
the
snakes? I was like, she keeps them as pets. That's very random.
I don't know. I think. Yeah, they weren't really giving things too much thought at this point of the movie. They were just like, oh, yeah, just chuck in some snakes. It'll be great. That'll be scary for them. Yeah, it was like it was an afterthought. They were like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Grab some snakes. Just chuck them in. We'll just do it. Don't worry about thinking about it. Yeah, we'll get to the end. Oh, get to the end of the movie. Give him a knighthood. Why is he getting a knighthood? He's American.
He's American because he's funded the war that hasn't happened. Maybe he's helped the war. I don't know. I don't quite
understand.
Well,
if that's where we're going to, let's not ask too many questions about why he's getting a knighthood. But anyway, so Daddy Warbucks, exactly. American, is getting a knighthood. He's got his knighthood. Let's just have a quick sing-song with the king about the sun come out tomorrow, about this hope that none of us need to have anymore because we're all really rich.
I know, it was terrible.
This film didn't do well for me. So,
are you going to ask me?
Did you score it?
We haven't had your score yet.
You asked me mine, and then I went off on a massive rant. Yeah. So, Michael, how many redheaded orphans are you going to give this movie out of 5?
I'm giving it 5. No, I'm not. I'm not giving it 5. 5 little orphans. I think I would give it 1 for Joan Collins and maybe 1 or half an orphan, decapitated orphan for the younger cast, because I think they work really well. Like the one who played Molly grew up to do loads of good films. Like she's in a horror film, Stranger Calls and stuff.
Yeah.
Like she had grown up to have a career. And the little girl that played Annie, she got nominated for a couple of TV awards for this.
Yeah.
Leaping lizards.
Their performances were okay. My issue is much more with the material than the performances, for sure.
So, Claire, how can people get in contact with us so they can listen to more about these great movies we're talking about?
Yeah, so get in touch. Tell us what you think of the episodes. Tell us what you think of the movie. If you've seen Annie 2, A Royal Adventure, let us know what you thought of it. If you haven't, it's not worth the £1.98 for Music Vampire, honestly. Just if you're in America, watch it on Prime. But
I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't even use the data allowance.
Get in touch. Drop us an email at unlovedsequels@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Unloved Sequels. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what movies you'd like us to cover. Please make some suggestions that are better than Annie 2.
And please go onto your favorite streaming app or device and please rate us, review us,
like and subscribe. We're doing.
Yes, please, because that's the way we move up the charts. But until next time, guys, keep watching the screen.